Tonight, breaking news as we come on the air. The storm that slammed parts of the East, more than 40 people unaccounted for at this hour. The state of emergency in Virginia tonight. Massive flooding, the urgent search underway. Men, women, and children missing. The rain triggering landslides and flash flooding. More than 100 homes damaged. Also tonight, U.S. inflation now hitting a near 41-year high. Inflation 9.1%. The average American household now spending nearly $500 more a month to buy the same goods and services from a year ago. What the president and vice president said today about this and what Bank of America is now signaling tonight. This evening, new questions after the chilling video was released from inside that school in Uvalde. Officers seen retreating in that hallway, the horrific scene unfolding for 77 minutes. The major development tonight in a disturbing case that made national headlines. After Roe was overturned, the 10-year-old girl from Ohio who was raped, who went to get an abortion in Indiana because of no exceptions for rape in Ohio. Tonight, a suspect now charged in the case. The January 6th committee and their new focus before their last hearing now. A detailed account of what President Trump did and did not do for 187 minutes inside the White House as the January 6th attack was unfolding. And what about the witness who Congresswoman Liz Cheney says the former president tried to reach? Where that stands tonight, Rachel Scott live on the Hill. President Biden on his first trip to the Middle East tonight, the president visiting Israel, then the West Bank, and next his controversial trip to Saudi Arabia, who he will meet with, and Mary Bruce is traveling with the president. The shark attack on Long Island, the second attack in 10 days, what we've learned. And we reported here on that luggage at Heathrow Airport. Tonight, what Delta has now done to bring a jet full of that luggage back to the U.S. and where they brought it. And America Strong tonight, members of the 82nd Airborne performing a much different kind of feat.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here on a very busy Wednesday night. And we begin tonight with the storm that slammed parts of the East, the massive flooding, and now the state of emergency tonight in Virginia. The urgent search in Buchanan County for some 40 people unaccounted for. Authorities releasing that number just before we came on tonight. The flooding has been devastating. Floodwaters roaring through the valley in Pilgrim's Knob, Virginia, triggering landslides there, closing roads, search and rescue teams across the region at this hour. Homes swept clear off their foundations, some landing hundreds of feet away. While in College Park, Maryland, straight-line winds downing trees and causing lights to flicker there, tens of thousands left in the dark tonight. Those powerful winds splitting this home into two. One person inside was taken to the hospital. While back in Buchanan County, Virginia tonight, authorities are now urging families to call a missing persons hotline to help them locate family members and neighbors, hoping the number of missing they're now dealing with will come down. ABC's Kenneth Moten leading us off tonight from the storm zone.
Tonight, after powerful storms raked the East Coast, a desperate search underway in rural Buchanan County, Virginia. Officials there say after up to 6 inches of rain fell in just hours, more than 40 people are unaccounted for.
And when it comes to these 40 people, are these adults, kids, entire families?
All of the above.
The floods, part of a strong system that knocked trees onto cars.
I heard a lot of crackling and popping. I looked out the window and I saw smoke and down wires and trees.
Those down power lines starting fires.
I don't know if it was lightning striking or wind or, but it just was down and the electrical lines were down and there's a fire on the fence.
This home in College Park, Maryland, nearly ripped in half by straight line winds. One person was hurt.
That's the living room we're in usually all the time. There's a TV there. I was sleeping there earlier today. I could have died.
David, at one point, more than 100,000 customers lost power because of these storms. The cleanup is underway here in Maryland. Virginia's governor declaring that state of emergency. The search continues for those unaccounted for, David.
All right, Kenneth Moten leading us off tonight. Ken, thank you. We turn now to the other major headline this Wednesday night, that new number on inflation, worse than expected. And as Americans well know, it remains painfully high across this country. The consumer price index 9.1% higher than a year ago, a nearly 41-year high now, driven, of course, by those record gas prices. The typical American household spent $493 more in June to buy the same goods and services than they did a year ago. President Biden hearing the news as he arrived in Israel, calling inflation, quote, unacceptably high, but also pointing to what he called, quote, out-of-date numbers because he says gas prices have been slowly coming back down for weeks. But families across this country are still feeling this and what Bank of America is now signaling about a possible recession. ABC's Victor Akendo tonight on the need across this country.
Tonight, the federal government confirming what millions of American families already know, the cost of living is soaring.
The typical American family, they're having to spend almost $500 more a month just to buy the same goods and services they bought a year ago. So a lot of financial pain.
Leading the way, those budget-breaking gas prices up nearly 60%. A gallon of gas, nearly $1.50 more than this time last year.
I usually spend about $100 a month in gas, and now I'm spending like $240, $250.
Food prices up nearly 10.5% compared to last year, hitting small businesses like Andy Rodriguez's The Salty Donut and Coffee Shops hard.
From last week to this week, you know, butter's up 15%. It's problematic.
But it's hitting lower income budgets the hardest.
This is a food distribution site in Miami Gardens, a vital lifeline for families, and the demand is skyrocketing. Take a look at the line. It stretches for about a mile.
73-year-old Nancy Sanderson lives on a fixed income and already relies on food banks. Now her mobile home community is being sold and she's forced to find a new place to rent in a sky-high market.
I have to have faith that something will come up when I have to get out.
She has a little over a month to not only find a place to live, but pay for a move.
Do you have any savings? Do you have enough money to move somewhere else?
I don't know.
Okay.
The Biden administration, who have made tackling inflation a top priority, called today's report unacceptably high, but also out of date.
There is no question that we still have work to do. But it is important to note that these numbers do not fully reflect the recent drop in gas prices.
And in a new report, Bank of America points to a number of factors slowing economic momentum and say they now forecast a mild recession this year. But the chief economist at Moody's tells us we can avoid a recession, especially if these gas prices keep on dropping. David?
Well, let's certainly hope so. Victor Akendo tonight. Victor, thank you. In the meantime, we turn next tonight to new questions and new anger after that chilling video was released from inside that school in Uvalde. The families who lost their children want answers. How this went on for 77 minutes. The images of officers retreating in that hallway. ABC's John Quinones tonight in Uvalde.
Tonight, in that Uvalde community, many parents had been demanding answers. Now their anger only growing after new video obtained by KVUE and the Austin American-Statesman shows the 77 agonizing minutes from the time the gunman entered the school until law enforcement would finally take him down. Those organizations releasing the leaked video to provide transparency to the community. One of the responding officers was outside the classroom, armed with an assault rifle, just 3 minutes into the massacre. Police retreating after coming under fire. Teacher Arnulfo Reyes says watching the video makes him sick. He was shot twice, trapped with his students inside that classroom, as one child called out to police for help.
Disgusted. He's just showing them running. I couldn't run. My kids couldn't run. If you're standing outside the door and you run, that upsets me because we couldn't run anywhere.
Reyes lost all 11 of his students. It's not until 48 minutes after the shooter entered the school, after more shots are fired, that officers finally move toward the classroom. But still, no rescue attempt. One officer even getting hand sanitizer. It would take another half hour for a team to breach the classroom to kill the gunman. Two teachers and 19 children would die. Off-duty Border Patrol agent Jacob Alvarado raced to the school after his wife, a teacher, texted that there was an active shooter. He could hear the gunfire as he got his wife, daughter, and dozens of other children out of the classrooms. But after seeing the video, he hesitates to criticize fellow officers.
I don't know what's going through their head at the time.
But 77 minutes.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
I mean, they held back.
Yeah.
He's shooting away inside that classroom.
I can't tell you what those officers were thinking at the time.
What would you have done?
I would like to believe that I would have gone in there as quickly as possible. But like I said, there is protocol that you have to follow.
And here in Uvalde tonight, where many parents continue to demand answers, some say these images are just too painful.
It's like reliving that day all over again. And I'm sick of it.
And John Quinones with us tonight from Uvalde. And John, I know these families are still waiting for the report from this investigation into the shooting, likely to be released this coming weekend now.
That's right. You know, the anger and the pain and the outrage, David, I got to tell you, is incredibly palpable even tonight. And now the town is bracing itself for the results of that that investigation, which are expected to be released now within just a matter of days.
All right. John Quinones tonight. John, we're glad you're back in Texas for us. Thank you. Next tonight here, that major development in a disturbing case has become a national flashpoint in America's battle over abortion rights after Roe was overturned. The 10-year-old Ohio girl who had been raped, who went to Indiana to get an abortion because there are no exceptions for rape in Ohio. Some had claimed the family story was not true. Tonight, a suspect has now been charged in the case and what Ohio authorities are now saying. Here's Alex Perez.
Tonight, an Ohio man is under arrest, charged in the rape of a 10-year-old girl whose case made national headlines. Authorities saying that girl went to another state, Indiana, to get an abortion. Ohio instituting a ban on nearly all abortions after 6 weeks, with no exceptions for rape following the overturning of Roe v. Wade.
The charge is rape, felony of the first degree, under 13 years old.
The 27-year-old suspect, who authorities say is undocumented, arraigned in a Columbus courtroom today, prosecutors saying he admitted to having sexual contact with the girl. The Ohio Attorney General issuing a statement saying, "My heart aches for the pain suffered by this young child. Justice must be served, and the Bureau of Criminal Investigation stands ready to support law enforcement across Ohio, putting these criminals behind bars." Last month, the girl's mother reporting to Child Services that her daughter was pregnant.
The victim went out of state to have a medically terminated abortion.
The story making headlines worldwide after the young girl traveled from Ohio to Indianapolis, Indiana for an abortion. Abortion rights advocates outraged, saying this is the new reality. Among those horrified by the case, President Biden, who just days ago signed an executive order to protect access to abortion, and pointing to the case of this young girl.
10 years old. 10 years old, raped, 6 weeks pregnant, already traumatized, was forced to travel to another state. Imagine being that little girl. Just imagine being that little girl.
And David, this case, just one example of how polarizing this case can be across the country. David, there were many people who did not believe this young girl's story, but of course, prosecutors today confirming her account with today's arrest. That suspect is being held on $2 million bail. He has not yet entered a plea. If convicted, he could face life in prison. David?
All right, Alex Perez tonight. Alex, thank you. Next this evening to the January 6th investigation and the committee's new focus now ahead of their final hearing, a detailed account now of what former President Trump did and did not do for 187 minutes inside the White House as that attack was unfolding. And tonight here, what about the witness who Congresswoman Liz Cheney says the former president tried to reach? Where that stands tonight, Rachel Scott at the Capitol.
Tonight, the January 6th committee preparing to zero in on a crucial timeline.
Go!
Donald Trump's actions as the insurrection unfolded.
The 187 minutes within the White House, what the president was doing, and how he could have played a role in preventing more violence.
Former White House counsel Pat Cipollone testified he begged Trump to call off the mob.
I felt it was my obligation to continue to push for that, and others felt it was their obligation as well.
Would it have been possible at any moment for the president to walk down to the podium in the briefing room and talk to the nation?
Yes, it would have been possible.
The committee painting a damning portrait of a president desperate to cling to power. Former White House aide Cassidy Hutchinson testified that on the morning of January 6th, Trump wanted to let armed supporters into his rally, saying they're not there to hurt me. He later told the crowd to march to the Capitol. But on Capitol Hill today, Republican lawmakers appeared unmoved. Missouri Senator Josh Hawley blaming those that stormed the Capitol, not Trump.
Well, I think the people who are responsible for the riot itself, Manu, are the rioters.
Could you support him again if he runs?
If he's a nominee, I will support him.
Republican Congressman Troy Nails of Texas helped barricade the House chamber on January 6th. That's him in the blue shirt.
There was evidence that was presented, testimony from one of the witnesses who said that Trump knew that some of his supporters had weapons, that they were armed, and still called on them to march on the Capitol. Do you think that was a wrong decision?
They're going to try to paint Donald Trump as some type of a terrorist.
You are still standing behind the former president, bottom line.
I am standing behind him totally, totally, 100%.
And Rachel Scott with us live up on the Hill tonight. And Rachel, among the key moments from 24 hours ago in the seventh hearing before the American people on this, Congresswoman Liz Cheney, of course, saying the former president had recently tried to reach out to a witness. Cheney said a lawyer for that witness informing the committee and that the committee had alerted the Department of Justice. A lot of people are going to be wondering where this stands tonight.
Well, the committee's chairman saying tonight that that witness has not been formally deposed. It's unclear if they will testify, but the committee is now leaving this up to the Justice Department to decide whether or not Donald Trump did anything wrong. They are still warning of possible witness tampering, David.
Rachel Scott back up on the Hill for us again tonight. Rachel, thank you. And now to President Biden arriving in Israel today, his first trip to the Middle East as president in Jerusalem, the president visiting the Holocaust Memorial and meeting with survivors. The most controversial leg of his trip coming later this week when he travels to Saudi Arabia. Our senior White House correspondent, Mary Bruce, joins us live from Jerusalem. And Mary, the president once declared that he would make Saudi Arabia a pariah for murdering journalist Jamal Khashoggi, I should say. But now he's set to meet with the crown prince.
And David, the president is well aware this is controversial. It is a reversal from that campaign pledge to make Saudi Arabia a global pariah. But now the president is set to meet with the crown prince, whom the U.S. concluded ordered the brutal murder of Jamal Khashoggi. Biden, though, is defending this trip, arguing that it's important to engage with Saudi Arabia to counter Russia and outcompete China. But David, this is also about oil. With the president facing pressure to bring down high gas prices back home, he's trying to increase the flow of oil back to the U.S. And the White House is also hoping to help normalize relations here between Saudi Arabia and Israel. David.
Mary Bruce traveling with the president for us. Thank you, Mary. When we come back here tonight, the shark attack off Long Island, the second attack in just 10 days. And last night, after those images of lost luggage at Heathrow Airport, what Delta has now done tonight to bring a jet full of those bags back to the U.S. and where they're now at, where you can find them in a moment.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Tonight, we're learning more about a surfer who was attacked by a shark off Long Island, New York. The victim bitten on the leg by a sand tiger shark at Smith Point Beach this morning before lifeguards were on duty. A surfer punching the shark, a wave carrying him to shore, he said, as the shark stayed right near him. It's the second shark attack there in 10 days. More than 20 shark attacks have now been reported in the U.S. so far this season. To the index of other news, tonight Delta Airlines loading one of its planes entirely with lost luggage. Those bags have been piling up at London's Heathrow Airport, the airline flying 1,000 bags from Heathrow back to Detroit. The luggage will now be sent to passengers. Heathrow, though, still struggling, asking airlines to stop selling tickets through Heathrow until at least mid-September. And keep an eye in the sky tonight. The Buck supermoon filling the sky this evening. The biggest supermoon of the year will be visible toward the southeast sky just after sunset. A supermoon, of course, happens when a full moon's orbit brings it closer to Earth, making it appear bigger and brighter than normal. Finally tonight here, America Strong. What do you do in between helicopter jumps? Well, here's the 82nd Airborne Division. Tonight at Fort Bragg in North Carolina, members of the 82nd Airborne Division in perfect formation.
I guess you say, what can make me feel this way?
Singing My Girl by The Temptations. Part of the 82nd Airborne Division All-American Chorus that started some 80 years ago. Between helicopter jump training on the drop zone, their jump master, Army Sergeant Kara Hall, requesting a song. And right here tonight, the 82nd Airborne on the Power of Music.
Our main job is to uplift the spirits of our soldiers that fight for our country in different areas of the world.
What can make me
with an encore just for us.
My girl, my girl, my girl.
Thank you.
Serving their country and entertaining us too. We salute them. I'll see you tomorrow. Good night.